nothing wrong with that. I don't guess it's going to be one type when we get to heaven. I think it'll all be godly, of course, but it won't be the genres might be a little bit different than we think. Romans chapter 6 is where I'm going to preach from today. And while you're turning there or getting to it, you know, sometimes I was just thought I'd share this with you. It doesn't have much to do. Well, I guess it does have something to do with what I'm preaching on, but you know, I read the Bible like I read every day. I kind of read a little bit. I've read through the Bible several times. I don't know how many times. Some people, I remember Mary Patzel, she had marked in her Bible in the back how many times she had read through the Bible is way up there. Of course, she was 91 when she died, but I think 91 or 2. I don't know how many times. I didn't keep track of it, but I read through, and then I got to do, I do my weekly study, and I study on, you know, for Sunday morning and study for Sunday night. And I study for Wednesday night to do the Bible study. So I'm studying those things throughout the week. But I also read in the morning. I just read some verses every morning. And yesterday, I'm in Matthew in my daily reading. And I was reading, of course, you know, I got a red letter edition Bible. A red letter edition has Jesus' exact words in red letters, what it said. And I was reading it. And even though everything is the Word of God, it's all the Word of God. I don't differentiate. And that's great. But I was sitting there, it's just like one of those epiphanies, and I knew this already, I knew it in my mind, but I'm reading the red letters, and I thought, man, this is Jesus' exact words. I talked to Sherry about it when I got done. I said, this is Jesus' exact words. This is what he said. This is what he was saying to his disciples, what he was talking about. And I said, if I was there, or any of us, if we had been there, he'd have been telling us the exact same thing, which he is telling us the exact same thing because we have the Word of God. See it? But I'm just thinking how exacting that was, that this is what Jesus would have to say. This is God's Word. This is what God has to say. You know, we know all that. There's nothing I told you just now that you didn't already know, but you don't always wrap your head around that. You don't always, you know, like start thinking about that. Man, that's profound. God Almighty, God of the universe, man, he's got his word right here. And I thought, man, like it just like hit me all of a sudden. And it was just like, I mean, it was a great experience, right? Just to think about that. Doesn't have nothing to do with what I want to talk about today, but thought I'd give you that. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. The Bible says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The title of the message today, I didn't give Mike any notes, he's got enough to do, but is New Life Resolution. New Life Resolution. And the key verse is verse 4 where it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism." That, I'll show you in a minute, that's probably not speaking of water baptism, but into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, Christians, also should walk in newness of life. You know, we come up on New Year's. I've been pastoring here in my 27th year, so 27 years of New Year's. You know, I mean, sometimes I'm out of town for different Sundays, so I don't preach every single Sunday of a year here, but every holiday I'm probably here. So I'm pretty much guarantee you that every Sunday before the new year, I probably stood in the pulpit and had a message about the new year, maybe something to do with the old year. You know, that's what we do. And we talked about it. Paul mentioned it this morning every year. Sometimes people make New Year's resolutions because, you know, a lot of times I've had a message that had to do with time, you know, because a year is a mark of time. And so we, you know, we know that, we understand that. And so we, you know, we start thinking about it. And we make, so it's a good starting point. So the reason people have like New Year's resolutions, say, okay, It's a new year. The old year's gone. Here's a point. Let's look at the new year. What are we going to do? You know, so they start making resolutions. Larry over here said that his resolution is he's not going to gain more than 40 pounds in the upcoming year. You know, pretty realistic target. I like that. I said, that's kind of like, all right, I'm not going to lose weight. We make a resolution, a lot of people do. I'm not going to lose weight. I'm just going to make a resolution not to gain more than X amount of number, right? So he may work out. After this, Stephanie may not feed him anymore and he'll be all right. Sometimes resolutions have to do with habits. Like, you know, I'm going to quit doing this, or I'm going to start doing. There are good habits to have, by the way, that start doing that. Or things that need to be done. Clean out the garage tomorrow. Clean, whatever. You know, we make resolutions about that. Maybe things that need to be done around the house. I was looking at some doors. I got some interior doors in my house. I said, man, you know, you live there, you get used to stuff. I said, these things need to be repainted. I shouldn't have said that. Forgot Sherry was down here. Listen, there's a couple doors. Yeah, that'll be on the list, right? That need to be repainted. But that's true. And so, you know, what we think about a year is just what? It's just a bunch of months. We got 12 of them. It's a bunch of days, 365, and a bunch of hours in the day. And it's just days back to back to back to back to back. And when we think about a year, I mean, really, what, you know, tomorrow's the new year, but you know what? Tomorrow's going to be just the next day, really. I mean, in one sense, it's just going to be the next day. It's just going to be another day. And, you know, what makes a difference in a day? You know, I mean, the days of themselves, I was sitting here pondering this today just in my mind after I'd already got my outline together, but I started thinking about it. What makes a day good or bad? You know, and then I thought a little deeper, you know, would there be evil in the world if there weren't any people? I mean, evil, huh? Would there be evil in the world? Where would it show itself? Where is evil manifest? I know this is getting deep, right? I mean, it could be manifest. There could be storms and things on the earth weather-wise if there wasn't any people on earth, and that'd be all right, but we wouldn't know nothing about it. But I mean, really, evil really manifests itself in humanity, right? I know this is getting like out there, but that's what goes on in this gourd up here that y'all don't know nothing about. I started thinking about it. So we take a day. What's going to make a day good or bad? You know, and what's going to, you say, well, circumstance. Well, circumstance a lot of times is caused by people, right? So what's going to make a day good or bad? And then we have another day, and we get a month, or we get a week, and a month, and a year. So what's going to make a year? In other words, the days, what I'm trying to say is the days of themselves don't really accomplish anything. A day doesn't accomplish anything much outside the weather. It's like, it's what goes on, you know, good or bad. It's like humanity, which, hey, that's us, right? It's us. It's all right. So what makes a difference in a day, a year in your life or mine? You know, what makes a difference? What we do or don't do, you know, what we say or don't say, that, you know, that makes a difference, right? What we do makes a difference in the day. What we don't do makes a difference in the day. What we say can make a difference. What we don't say, those are going to be the things that makes a difference. We look at the new year that's coming up. That's what's going to make a difference. The minutes, the hours, the days, the months that make up a year are going to come, no matter what, they're going to come. They're on the way. I mean, if the Lord comes back, a day will still happen. A day will still take place. So what I'm leading up to is what I want to talk to you about mostly. We don't really need a New Year's resolution. We need a new life resolution. He said there, we talked about the walking in the newness of life. This is what he said. He's talking about saved people. We need a new life resolution. That's the topic that I have for us today, and we'll see how this goes out. When I was a young pastor, when I first started pastoring, I used to really like the holidays coming up because it kind of put me on point for whatever topic, you know, Christmas time, you're going to preach about. But after 27 years of doing that, I really don't like the holidays coming up because I know I'm going to have to get on something that I've probably been on before. Normally you would. I mean, I don't have to. I guess I don't have to have a New Year's message, but you're getting one anyway. But I see things. I got told, I was talking with David back there earlier, you know, I said, when I was 18, I thought I knew everything. Now I'm 68. I know I don't. I don't know everything. I don't know it. So last year, so we got number one is the new year. That's the point for today, a new year. Last year, like I say, and every year for the past 27 years, we've come to the last message that I'm going to preach, or that's going to get preached in all the churches everywhere. We come to the last message preached before the new year. Last year, a year ago, we were standing there. It was the end of 2022. And we were saying, well, there's 2023 coming. I can think back when, boy, just think of those of us that are old enough, remember the 60s or 70s, and you looked out in the, oh, boy, and what's going to be going on in the year 2024? What's going to be going on? I had a movie in the 60s, 69, I think it came out, 2001, A Space Odyssey. We were looking, oh, yeah, well, it's kind of like part of it, but not totally. We don't live the part that they did. But, I mean, what's going to be like 2024? Oh, my. Ooh, what's going to be going on then? Well, we're about to find out. We're about to find out. It's probably going to be a lot like what's going on in 2023, just worse probably. But so we were looking for it. You know, the last day. We're at now in this particular year. This is New Year's Eve. So we're on the very last day, and tomorrow's going to be the new year. You got to get used to writing 2024. You're going to mess that up a few times, and all those things are going to go on. So what's different? Well, when you look back, what was different for you last year than the year before? What's different for you? I mean about life. And I'm going to talk to you in a minute about circumstances come up and they kind of dictate some things to us. But I mean really just say if we look spiritually, you know, what's different for you? What was different last year than the year before? You know, it's a rhetorical question, but something to ponder, something to think about, something to reflect on. Maybe as the year comes to an end, when you're sitting quiet, if anybody sits quiet anymore, when you're sitting there thinking, maybe when you lay down in bed, you start thinking, if you can stay awake long enough to think very long, what's different for me, spiritually speaking? Where am I at? You know, where am I at? My walk with the Lord, it said walk in newness of life. Is that it? Is that what I've got? You know, that's what I want you to think about as we kind of go along today with this. You know, like I said, tomorrow it's the new year, but like I said a few minutes ago, it's really just the next day. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and unless God really jumps on you, fills you somehow, I mean, it's going to be, or you're already filled today with God and you're going to be filled tomorrow with Him, but it's going to be another day. It's going to be another day tomorrow when you wake up. You won't wake up tomorrow and say, wow, woo, I feel different because it's 2024. Older maybe, but it's not going to be really anything changed. And, you know, we can make all the resolutions that we want, but for the most part, it's probably going to be, for most people, it's the same old, same old. Huh? Boy, don't I see y'all looking real happy about that. Huh? Boy, everybody's just going, I say, same old, same old. Everybody's going, huh? Well, that's probably closer to the truth than that, right? That's closer to the truth because we, you know, we allow it, you know, I'll talk to you about that in a minute. I get ahead of myself sometimes when I'm talking to you. We, you know what we do? We'll talk about change. Yeah, I'm going to clean that garage out. I've been looking at my garage since the middle of the summer thinking, man, I got to clean this mess up. The other day, the guy came up there, the UPS guy or something, we had something real heavy and we had to open the door. It was embarrassing to let him in. I said, yeah, my wife, man, she don't ever clean nothing up, you know. She wasn't out there, you know. Throw her under the bus. I try to get her to clean them. And she won't. Nah, they know better. They know better. We talk about change, but like a lot of times, what changes? You know, because like we just like change to happen. We're so lazy. I mean, it's like that old lazy button thing. I just want things to change. Nothing changed because we didn't do it. You know, now circumstances, like I said, circumstances do force change on you. You could have an older parent, a sick relative, a sick child, jobs, situation where they decided they no longer needed your services or something, you know. I mean, a lot of things can happen that, and I'll speak about that in a few minutes. Circumstance can force some change. And then another thing we think about, boy, the new year. Somehow I think in our brain we think that new means better. New doesn't always mean better. Huh? There's lots of new stuff out there that isn't worth a hoot. Old was better. I don't know why they messed with it. You know, but new doesn't always mean better. And we get that in our mind sometimes that that's it. But I think one time, I think this is one of the problems with looking at the whole year. Like saying, okay, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. Or we look at the whole year and we say, boy, there it is. It's a new year. Man, I'm going to make changes in my life. I'm going to do this, do that. Might be spiritual things. It might be, you know, physical things, the diets and all that. And I'm going to make the change. The problem with that is when we make those resolutions, we look at when we have the whole year view, you have a tendency to put it off because you think, well, I got all year. I don't have to start today, right? Huh? You remember old Andy Griffith episodes? I use a lot of them for illustrations. There's one episode where Buddy Ebsen, you know, Jed Clampett, Buddy Ebsen was on an episode where he was a hobo. He didn't want to work and he was milling around. And he said, he made this comment. He said, you know, tomorrow, he said, it was the greatest day that was ever made. He said, because there's nothing that we can't do tomorrow. A lot of people live their life like that. So we look at the whole year and we say, yeah, you know why the garage has been sitting there since the middle of the summer, needed cleaning up really good, and it's still sitting there, needed clean. It's worse now than it was then because I was going to do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow I'm going to do it tomorrow. And tomorrow my parents used to say, my mom used to say, tomorrow never comes. It's a, you know, the problem in that sense as far as getting anything done. So, you know, I think that we need to have a today view of life. Not even a tomorrow view, or not even a whole year view, not even a tomorrow view, you know, a today view of life. The resolution can't be for the year, but the resolution has to be for today, huh? That we walk from, you know, let me see how it worded here. He just said we should walk in the newness of life. He said, you know, it says like right now. He's speaking like right now, not in the future. We think about that. So the second point is, that I want to use out of that same text is a new life. We should walk in newness of life. Now, he mentioned up there, I'll mention that real quick. I'll give you a little, expository preaching here. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, I don't believe there that water baptism is symbolic, but we're not really baptized into Jesus' death by the water. We're baptized into Jesus' death by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized, this is saved people, into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, the water baptism is a symbolic thing, but it doesn't place us into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit of God does that. But in speaking about water baptism as a symbol, that the first thing that we see a death. It's a picture of death. And that's why submersion, you know, there's people that think sprinkling water's okay and pouring water's on you, but that it was submersion in the old, and baptismo means underwater, the Greek word, that's what it means, underwater. And the reason is because it's picturing a burial. And then you come out. Now, the water itself is not washing away your sins. Only Jesus does it. It pictures, though, coming up, being buried, that old man being buried, and that new man coming out in newness of life. It pictures the resurrection. The old man crucified. That's what it is. Not the old nature. Now, get this. Think about this. I looked a little deeper and thought about this more. When we talk about the newness of life, And the old man, the Bible talks about that, the old man, the old personality, the old person that you were, that we are crucified with Christ. It says reckon it later on in Romans. I'm in 6, I think 7 and 8 starts talking about reckoning. That means knowing it, knowing that you're crucified. Excuse me. It's not the old nature. We still got the old nature. It's the old man, the old person, the old man, who you were spiritually before trusting Christ. That old guy, that old worldly spirit, that all that is crucified. We still got the old nature, and we know if you've been saved very long, you know it very well, right? That old nature's still there. And when we were where we were before, we were under sin, powerless, ungodly, and enemy of God. And this is called, in that sense, the body of death. The unregenerated man is spiritually dead. He doesn't have a spiritual life, not the life of God. And it's called the body of death because the wages of sin is death, and that's the path we're on. And we're dead spiritually to start with, you know, without God. But it's that body of death controlled and ruled by our sin. And that's the one thing. And if we get a grip on this life, this Christ life, that, you know, what and this is why I think when we think about the spiritual things, the spiritual resolutions that fail so often, it's because we're still trying to do it in the old flesh, the old body. I'm not promoting this guy by any stretch of the imagination. If you know me very well, you know I'm not. But Joel Osteen wrote a book called Becoming a Better You. That's a hogwash philosophy. It's unscriptural, unbiblical. A better you. We've been trying to become a better me. I've been trying to do that all my life. How's that working out for you? Huh? Listen, there's messages for other sermons that have been preached with titles like A New You for the New Year. Well, you could take that one either way. A New You for New Year. How about New Year, Better You? Listen, we don't need a better me. You don't need to see a better me version. You need to see Christ. Amen. It's not me. I'm to be crucified, not become better. I'm to be crucified. The old person that I was, the old spiritual person that my soul and spirit in that sense, the old inner me. I mean, all we are really is a body. Who are you is your soul and your spirit, you know, our mind and our heart and all that comes out. This is just what we live in, this old body. This old body don't have any evil of its own. It's the spiritual side of things that's there. And when we think about that, that's all those thoughts are biblical horse hockey, for the use of a better word or a worse word that I could use than that. Romans 7:18 says, For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The same Apostle Paul, the same one that wrote Romans chapter 6, he wrote that. He said, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, how do you take something that's no good, and you can't take something, especially in the flesh sense, and make it better? No, God didn't do that. God didn't do that. How do you improve the flesh? The Bible never teaches that. You don't improve the flesh. He said, I am crucified. Take up your cross. What do you take up a cross for? To crucify something. Take up your cross daily. Huh? Daily. If a man's not willing to take up his cross daily. What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? For I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Then he says, but Christ that dwelleth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a lot in that verse. Take that in. I am crucified with Christ. What happens when you get crucified in those days? You were dead. Yet I live. Then he says, but not me. It's not me that lives. It's Christ. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Whose faith? Son of God's faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, and now it's Christ's life. We don't take this flesh and do anything with it. The flesh hasn't produced nothing but heartache, headache, ruined all those 365 days of the year, ruined them because what was going on in man's flesh, all the wickedness that we did. You know, listen, when Jesus was crucified, I got this somewhere, but I'm going to throw it in right now. I don't see it written down. When Jesus was crucified, when he resurrected, listen, it wasn't a resuscitated Jesus. It was a whole new Jesus. His whole life was, he didn't resuscitate the old body. Boy, he had a resurrected body when he came up out of there. It's the same with us. I probably got that somewhere else, but I'll get you with it here in a minute. So the old man wasn't made over. He wasn't made improve the old man. The old man was crucified. Huh? That's what he said. Look what it said, even in our text. Knowing this in verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him. The old man's dead. So the old man wasn't improved. The old man wasn't, when you get the new and improved version of the old man was put to death. And now we walk in newness of life. The Greek word for newness means a fresh quality, a new quality. The word life is the word Zoe. That's the life of God. Now we walk in the newness of the life of God. which we didn't have before. Man, what is, and then the Bible goes on, what communion hath Belial with, what does it say, Belial with, it says darkness and light and won't commune. And Belial was something with the children of God. Anyway, it doesn't go together. There's no communion, right? So we can't take the flesh and have the life of God. And the old flesh has to be crucified. The old man has to be crucified, or we have the life of God. Not only were we crucified with Christ, symbolizing his baptism, as I mentioned a minute ago, submersion, but also resurrected with Christ to what? A newness of life, the very life of God. We're resurrected to that. That's the picture symbolically. It happened by the Holy Spirit. It happened when you got saved. And so it's not, that's why we know it's not water baptism, but there it is. The resurrection of Christ was not a resurrection or a resuscitation of the old life. It was a new form of life. That's what eternal life. That's salvation right there. Listen, man, we ask people at the end of the service, if you think you're lost and you want to get saved, you come down here and I'll just pray with you to get saved. Now, you don't actually get saved by coming down here, and you don't actually get saved by praying, even though the Bible says confess with your mouth and, you know, and call on the Lord. What, you get saved because God saves you, but when you ask, and you know, you, it's not in other words, what I'm saying, it's not in a really a act other than exercising faith and asking Christ for forgiveness of your sins. But what happens, the change does, I can't do nothing. I can't change it. Boy, if I could, I'd change a bunch. No, but I'm just saying, I can't change it, but God's the one that does it. See? And so it's not in the act, even in the baptism, the water baptism, and coming forward, that they're symbolic. And boy, coming forward, I'm tell you what, if a person comes down the aisle in a church today, you know, when somebody's convicted enough to walk down in front of people and say, man, I need to be saved and I'm lost. I mean, it's usually God moving them right there to do that. I mean, you'd have to be pretty vain to come for any other reason. You know, I just want a bunch of attention on me. No, most people don't want that. So, you know, and people get saved, but the life that what takes place is something internal that God does it internally, and man, it's the walking, and then it's the newness of life. Oh, hey, man, listen, there's the sanctification process. I know that everything's not going to be 100% perfect, but God will keep working on you from that point forward. And you know, that's what he's talking about. It's a new, man, it's a new life. It's the baptism is actually a symbol of what has already taken place, because you don't baptize lost people, you baptize saved people. They already had to have had the Holy Spirit of God in their life. But we think about that. How many people, and I thought about this, you know, it's supposed to represent a moment when we pass from the old life into the new. But over the years, listen, how many people have walked away from that symbolic day, their baptism, and nothing in their life changed? And there's people, there's whole doctrines that have started off of that. There's people that think you can lose your salvation because they say, well, you know, old Leroy, man, he came forward in church and he made a profession, boy, and I remember I was there when he got baptized, and boy, he was saying, praise God, hallelujah. And then just in a short time later, man, they're right back out in the world and nothing happened in their life. And they say, well, see, well, he was saved, but he lost his salvation. No, sir. We're not kept. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God. Well, I can't find my car keys, my phone. I don't know what. Sherry said, would you call my phone so we can find it? The other day we had called the phone. We still couldn't find it. And, you know, we'd lose it, right? We'd lose it. We'd lose everything. I'm glad it's not up to me to keep it. It's up to God to keep it. But when it's real, what it is, a lot of them, it's not real. And many have walked away and nothing changed. Lived the same life the day after that than they ever lived. Come down here to the altar. I've had people come down here to the altar and say, man, I want to get saved. They'd cry and bawl and weep, and man left and never come back to church the rest of their life, and then never came back. Nothing happened. Nothing changed for them. A new life. And then we see, which leads us into the next thing, and it's all in verse 4, a new walk. It says a new walk. When we walk, you know, walk means really in that sense, a new walk. It just means your life. You know what your life is when you walk, when we, every day, day-to-day living. It's talking about day-to-day living, a new walk, the practicality of the new life. A new life means you got a new heart. You know, God deals with the heart. I heard a thing the other day. This is good news. Good stuff. Video Harold sent me, guy preaching. I hadn't listened to the whole thing, but I listened to part of it. And he said, you know, teaching goes after the mind. He said, preaching goes after the heart. That's a good point, even though you do kind of teach when you preach, but preaching goes after the, or teaching goes after the mind, and preaching goes after the heart, the way it should work out. But a new heart, new principles. There's new principles, new power, new goals in life. That's walk in the newness of life, this new walk. And the Bible says that old things are passed away. This is after salvation, and all things become new. All things become new. So here we are, we're at the brink of a new year. Really at the brink, and not often that we fall, I guess every 7 years or maybe or something like that. I don't know how the leap year affects it, but if it wasn't for that, it would fall every 7 years. You'd be having a New Year's Eve service on Sunday. It'd be Sunday. So what's going to dictate your life, your walk? What dictates your walk in life, our day-to-day walk, our living? What dictates that? And what's going to dictate it this coming year? As I said before, you know, a lot of people just let life kind of happen. I've noticed this before. There's a couple things you learn along the way. Most people are followers, not leaders. And most people just let life happen to them instead of make life happen. You know, whatever, it's like a jellyfish, man. And listen, a jellyfish is a living thing. You know, I know there's cells and organisms and all that, and they take in something and eat and whatever they do, absorb it, whatever, osmosis. I don't know how. Anyway, I've never seen a jellyfish's mouth, but I'm just saying. But there's a jellyfish, and it's a living organism, and you know how they do in the water. They do that, and the stuff, amoebas or whatever, float up in there, plankton. But whichever way the tide goes, that's how they live their life. They're eating. We all know about that. It's a holiday. They're all eating. And if the tide's going that way, they're going that way. When the tide goes that way, and then the wind sometimes dictates a little bit. If they're up near the surface, it'll dictate the direction of the water. So however, and that's how most people live their life. They just do. Circumstances kind of, you know, jobs people get sometimes. A lot of people didn't have. I remember when I was in high school and they had the guidance counselor. You know, you get to be a junior or senior. Well, what's your plans for life? Listen, my plans for life is to get through the next day, you know. Graduate school. Didn't want to go to school no more, you know. But all the people that had any brains were saying, man, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be one lady, the girl in our school, she said she was going to work for NASA. Guess what? She went to work for NASA. She's a, you know, I mean, just she's real smart. That's what she wanted to do. I'm thinking, I better come up with something. You know, shot really high. I'm going to, and listen, if this is what you do for a living, it's not knocking on you, but I'm just thinking, hey, you got your whole life. I said, I'm going to be an auto mechanic. You know, I wanted to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, mess around, engine, whatever. Look at me. You know. What a failure. But, you know, what we do is just like, oh, hey, here's a job opening. I'm going for that, and it's a good job. It's a good paying job, and we go do that. And we get, you know, what's your goals? Oh, I want to get a house, and I want to get married, and want to have kids, and they're worthy goals, no doubt. But this is what we do. And a lot of our life just kind of happened to us. Oh, here's an opening here. Hey, that's good. You know, we don't like say, listen, no, man, I got this is what I'm going to do. You know, this is what I'm going in this direction. This is a direction. A lot of times we don't do that. And then a lot of you might have done that. You might have done that with certain things. We may be sporadic in that. But what happens is circumstances, I said a few minutes ago, dictate a whole lot. Like, you know, where you live. Sometimes we just kind of held to that. Like I say, there can be other things as we get older. We know those of us that had parents, you know, when my mother died and my dad, you know, I was the only child and dad needed to be, he had some strokes and stuff. And he said, well, I'm going to sell down there. And he moved up here where he could be closer to us. And, you know, we kind of helped him. You know, we took care of cleaning and mowing and things like that. He is a pretty neat guy, but, you know, we went over there and did the extra cleaning and stuff. Some of y'all, Paul's got his mother living with him, taking care of his mom and different ones. Mike's mom's had to go through some things with his father passing away, and that all of us have probably gone through stuff like that. You got to deal with all that. That dictates that we can't help that, good or bad. Could be good circumstances. We don't want it to all be negative things. But, you know, and so they will, and listen, 2024 is before us. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't know this, circumstances are going to come. They're going to come. And there's no doubt about it. Good ones, maybe, bad ones. Circumstances are going to, we're going to have to deal with them. But life doesn't have to be controlled by the circumstance. You might have to take care of it, but it doesn't have to be controlled by that. Jesus, after his baptism, he fasted. The Bible says 40 days. He was led by the Spirit, by the way, out into the wilderness, and he fasted 40 days. And Satan came along. A circumstance came along. The old Satan came along and tried to tempt him. And temptation came. Well, I'm going to tell you something. What's going to happen next year? What's going to happen tomorrow? Temptation's going to come. What did Jesus do? Man, Jesus, he gave him scripture. Satan tempted him with the powers of the world, you know, the kingdoms of the world, turn the stones into bread. Which you think, well, what's wrong with bread? Nothing. But if you listen, if you do what the devil tells you, it's wrong, no matter what he tells you to do. He turned the stones into bread, kingdoms of the world, man. I mean, listen, he tempted him, and Jesus answered him with the word of God every time, the word. Why did he do that? Because he was showing us, he saw those circumstances, and he answered with the word of God to teach us. This was an opportunity for Jesus. A couple things. One of them was the opportunity to put Satan in his place, and he did. An opportunity to teach us how to defeat the enemy. How do you defeat him? With the word of God, just what God said. Listen, Jesus didn't use his deity to defeat the enemy. He was showing us how we can do it. It can be done. We use the word of God. That's what he was showing us. So, last year was the new year. And we opened up Christmas gifts last year, remember? How many of you remember what you got last year? If you got something big or something, you might remember. Some of you thinking, they got old. They're already, what it was, if you got something for Christmas, it's a week old now, right? It's already a week old. Everything become, all them things become old. The things we got years ago, they're the old things. But let me ask you this right here. I'm going to get on you just a little bit, but it's the start of the year. You probably need it. How many have let your walk, I'm talking to the people that are saved, how many of you have let your walk with the Lord become old? He said, walk in the newness of life. And I talk to people all over the area, have ever since I've been here, dealing with us, let's say, locally in Botetourt County. You talk to everybody I've ever talked to in Botetourt County used to go to church somewhere. Hardly ever find anybody that never. I mean, they exist. But. So there's a lot of used to's. And I'm going to talk to you guys. I'm talking to you. This is the church. This is us. And this is who you got for a pastor. And you're who I got for a congregation to preach to. How many of you used to be faithful to church? Used to be. Used to come to Sunday school. Used to come to Sunday night. Used to come to Wednesday night. Used to sing in the choir. Used to teach a class. Used to witness for the Lord. Used to visit folks. Used to pray. I used to. Yesteryear. Days gone by. Used to study the Word of God, read the Word of God, but you know what? It became old. Or how many never started anything, any of that, after the profession that they made? What's different? What's new? What is new about it? You need a new life resolution. See, and now with the resolution that I'm talking about, we've got the power because we have the Holy Spirit of God to do it, right? God is willing. I mean, isn't God willing? Is God willing that we be unfaithful? Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembly. But you know what? Just come and listen. You can be out in left field. You could be 100 miles away sitting right here. Huh? I mean, you could be right here and be 100 miles away. Mentally. Huh? What? But is God's willing that we do these things, right? He's willing. He's faithful. Man, he's empowered us to do it. We got the walk in the newness of life. Listen, he didn't say walk in the newness of life in your own strength. He said walk in the newness of life with the power that he's going to, that resurrected life, the life of God himself dwelling in you, that we can walk in the newness of life. And so what happened? And a lot of times what happens with that, what happens with the things of God is just like what happens with the things of life. We say, what, you know what, this year I'm going to start witnessing more, and I'm going to start reading my Bible more, and I think I'm going to start coming down to church on Sunday night. Maybe I'm going to come to Sunday school, man. Maybe I need to try to get down there on Wednesday night. We talk about doing it, but we don't do it because what happens is, we just don't use the power that's available to us, man, the word, you know, the power of God. And what happens, days and weeks go into months, and months goes into year, and a year later you didn't do none of it. It's the same way spirit in spiritual things. What's it going to be? Listen, I don't want to know what's going to be next year. What's it going to be today? And let me tell you something, today's half over. Today is half over. What's it going to be tomorrow? Just tomorrow. What's it going to be tomorrow? And with all those tomorrows, we'll come up to next year. Huh? A new life resolution. Man. This is God promised it, a new life. If we put our faith and trust in Him. God promised it. Well, how does He do it, preacher? Listen, man, it's an act of God. Huh? The life of God dwelling in you, it's a radical thing. It's a change in your, man, I'm telling you what, and it's all for good. It's all for the good, trust me. We were talking about, I was talking with, what's her name and what's his name there, about George and Colleen. We were talking about, I said, my wedding anniversary's coming up. I was 29 years old before I got married. We've been married, going to come up on 39 years, you know. I said, well, we went together for like 5 years before we got married. She goes, wow, Yank, you waited a long time, you know, But I'll tell you one thing, man, if I hadn't have gotten saved, we'd have never made it 39. Mm-mm. As Sherry could tell you, I was different than I am now. I mean, I was nuts too, but I mean, but it's a different life. It was a different life, you know, huh? Walk in the newness of life. What's it going to be today? What's it going to be today? Look at the right now. Don't look at the whole year. You'll put it off. If you plan that way, you're going to put it off. I guarantee you're going to put it off. I just pray that this message will help you just a little bit. When we think about, don't listen and don't let this life that we, it's not old. Don't let Satan tell you, man, nothing gets old, nothing gets stale. Listen, huh? We make it what, you know, church just doesn't happen. We just not show up and do nothing. Hope Paul and me and whoever else the singers can get you. No, listen. It's going to be what we make it. Really. It's going to be me. Huh? You get all full of God this week, tomorrow, come rolling back up in here next Sunday, and we're all full of the Holy Spirit of God and see what happens. Huh? We know it. We know it's true. See what happens. What's it going to be? Huh? Hey, you know what? I need to get saved. I know I should. Man, I think I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week, next Sunday, huh? Yeah, you remember old Harry Kidd, old guy? Can't come now. He's real old. We sat on the other side. He told me one Sunday he got under conviction real bad. I don't remember what I was preaching on, but he said, "Man, I put it off getting saved." And he said, "I'll do it next week." That's what he said. He told me this after the fact. And then he said, "The next week came, buddy," and he sat there. And when I preached, he said, "I didn't feel nothing." Scared me to death. He said, scared me to death. He said, I prayed all week. He said, God, you just speak to my heart this coming week. He said, when invitation time came the next Sunday, he said, a wild horse wasn't going to keep him. I seen him rolling down the aisle. He had never been to the altar in his whole life. In here, we talked to him at his house, and he said he was already saved. He come rolling down that side, and he was looking dead at me. When he come down that right side, I kind of looked over. I was surprised to see him coming, because some people come to the altar. You know how it is. Same ones. But he wasn't one of them. And I was looking at him, he was looking at me, boy, and he got around the corner, it was when we were over there, and he was motioning for me to come down there, buddy. He got down there and started bawling. He said, I'm not saved. He said, I just said it. He said, I'm not saved. Boy, he got saved, man. And I'll tell you what, you didn't have to wonder where Harry was when church time came. That was it. It was a difference in his life. He had a new walk, a new life. That's available to every one of us. It's my prayer. This is the way it is. It's not in the ceremony of it all. It's just preaching, and we're preaching Jesus Christ, and you can be saved, you know. And we give an altar call because if God's dealing with your heart now, by all means, get saved now. Get saved today. You got a chance to get saved right now at the end of this thing. If you go home and you think, man, I need to get saved. Listen, you can be saved. You could call me or any, you know, anybody that knows the Word of God, I mean, can, should be able to lead you to the Lord and say, hey, listen, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it's simple. It's, we're not saved in a acts or deeds, or we just got to know that we're lost. We know that we're lost and we're an old sinner. We just need salvation. What's God going to do? I don't know. How's God going to do it? I don't even know that. I just know that He will. If you're honest with yourself and say, well, you know what? And that's how I got saved. Somebody asked me, he said, a preacher said, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart? I said, no, sir. I'd gone to church most of my life. I said, no, I'd never heard that. I never did it. That's what the Bible says. Showed me Romans 10:9. And I said, that's what I need to do. And I asked Jesus to save me. I had a lot of baggage. I didn't know how He would deal with it all, but that's God's department, not ours. Our department is knowing that we're lost and asking God. So if that's what, you know, that's what God's laid on your heart, I'd get saved today. What a way to start off the new year. Paul, you come and you lead us in the invitation.
Hymn 97, I need thee every hour. Hymn 97.